And we are back. Black and a Half, Seattle's longest running comedy podcast. Probably. My name is Silas Lindenstein. I am your host. And today is another Black and a Half Reviews edition. So on the Black and a Half Reviews editions of the show, I'm going to be reviewing films or television shows. And today I've got two films and one TV series, pilot episode that I'll be reviewing for you today. Some of these episodes are solo now. Some will be with people if I can time up the watching of shows, which is a little more challenging in this COVID time, but I hope to have guests on to talk about shows. And so, yeah, so thanks for tuning in. So today we're going to be talking about the film Chemical Hearts, the film One Bedroom, or 1BR, as the title says, and the series Lovecraft Country. So we're going to review those things. So if you don't want to be spoiled at all by some of those, I think I've done pretty well with some non-spoilers part of this. You go ahead and skip to the next episode or go back one or save this for later. But I will be talking about these films, and that's all this is going to be about really today. But again, thank you so much for listening. We really like the feedback that we've been getting from people lately. And if you want to give us some more feedback, please go to Apple Podcasts. Please leave a 5-star review and leave a comment on there. And it really helps everyone else discover things about the show. And then Samantha and I can, you know, blow up and be fabulous. And you could say we were there when we started. When they started, I was even a Patreon supporter, which you could not lie and go to patreon.com/blackandahalf. And become a patron of the show. You can, for just $1 a month, you can join the League of Extraordinary Listeners. Okay? You go there, listen to that, become a member, and you help support the show and make everything happen and, you know, give me a reason to wake up in the morning, that kind of stuff. And yeah, that's it. Also, another way to support the show, you can either go to, you can get some coaching from Samantha Rund, my co-host extraordinaire. Go to Beyond Technique Coaching and become and the link is on the website for this at blackandahalf.com, and get some coaching for her in both in for acting and in life, using performance techniques to enhance yourself. Or if you are in the Seattle, Washington area and looking to buy or sell a home, you can go to silasgetsreal.com. You know, get hooked up with an agent like myself, Silas Lindenstein, a real estate agent at Skyline Properties, that helps support the show. Buy a house, you need a place to live, and you support the show. So it's a two for one. Or if you're just trying to find out how to buy a house, you can go to my other podcast, which is, yourbuyingahome.com. You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. That's also available on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to this, probably. It's available there. So do those things and or don't, I guess. It's your life. But this episode, number 118, here we go. Black and a Half Reviews, One Bedroom, Chemical Hearts, and Lovecraft Country.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by. Join us. Impressive. Join us. Impressive.
And thank you for sticking around for listening to that wonderful song. That's a song was done by one of our listeners a long time ago, and I really appreciate that she did that. I can't think of a more perfect song mix. It's a song. Can't think of a better theme song for this show, honestly, than what she's made it. So that's why we've left it, or we keep having it. So here's the deal. I started doing these review shows, and I'm getting avid. I'm becoming an avid reviewer of films, and I have a Letterboxd account. If you watch the Letterboxd, you can type my name in, or I think it's Silas Laughs is my user in there. I'll double check. But you can read these reviews that I have for them, or you can just come to the podcast and listen. But I am putting those up. Try to put those up a lot quicker. If you don't want to wait, or you can always ask me, Silas, what are you reviewing this week? And I'll let you know. But I'm trying to hit movies right as they come out, and some TV shows. But yeah, so that's what I'm doing. So you can check that out, read them, or just come here. And I'm sort of kind of reading my review a little bit, but I'm going to add in little extra thoughts that I didn't get to when I was writing it. So some things I just don't want to write. You know me. Anyway, the first movie on the list, Chemical Hearts. This is streaming on Amazon. It's an Amazon original. So it just came out this last weekend. Chemical Hearts. It's a rated R drama romance, as they call it. 1 hour and 33 minutes. It is written and directed by Richard Tan, I believe it's pronounced. It's based on a book by Crystal Sutherland. The cast, the main characters in this are Lily Reinhart, Austin Abrams, and Sarah Jones. The story. A high school senior falls in love with a new transfer student who hides a heartbreaking secret. I'll hit the main review first. The review. Chemical Hearts follows the story of Grace and Henry. Henry is hoping to become editor of his high school newspaper when he meets new transfer student Grace, who is eventually made to be his assistant editor. And as you would expect, these two start a relationship. You expect it because it's a romance film, and why not? Oh, boy meets girl. Look, they're setting it up. The wonderful part of films set in the last year of high school is that it lets you be introduced to new characters as they usually have to portray talent of that age. So, like, okay, this is what I was trying to say. Whenever I watch a film that takes place in high school, you know, they're not going to be using 40 year old actors anymore, hopefully. So you always get new actors. So to play these ages. So it's a great place to sort of discover new actors and who's going to be coming forward to this. Even though in this case, these lead actors are certainly not new to acting, but they were new to me. Lily Reinhart's performance in this film is absolutely beautiful. Playing a high school girl that is broken, both physically and emotionally, you tend to see younger actors in these roles play it rather one note. Reinhart comes out and shows us a fully developed person, someone who can be broken inside and wants to keep her secrets but allow life around her to give her moments of joy. There are some beautifully acted moments between the two lead actors. I like to refer to these moments as pearls. And when you have enough pearls, you can create a beautiful necklace. And this film gets a really nice sized necklace. The writing of the film is overall really well done. You get a lot of interesting backstory for even the supporting cast members and their micro stories. The supporting cast is so well written and so well acted that it ends up being a shortcoming for the film because I want to know more about the characters. I was so intrigued by them, and I'm like, let's have a film about them. Like, I want the sister. Like what's their story? That seems interesting. Which I never thought I would complain about this before, and it's actually happened for this. Also, I have a friend who hates rom-coms and romance, anything like that. And this film does lean into being more of a romance. But as I was telling him, while it is a film about someone falling in love, ultimately it's a story about someone healing. Someone healing in a clumsy, hard way, but still healing. Sometimes healing can hurt other people or it involves that. But we have to heal. Grace has some scars. Some will never go away and some will never, we will never see. But as we learn from Henry and his interesting hobby, some scars are what make the thing or person beautiful to begin with. I do want to give a nod to its handling of sex, or as I say it in this house, S-E-X. I really appreciated that the film took a moment to make sure it role modeled safe sex, which you don't often see in films. They also made the moment, they made the moments really delicate, you know, like they handled it very delicately. There's no nudity, just correctly positioned cameras, and overall done with a lot of class, I would say. Now, I also want to say, like, as an older person, you know, like, I think it was definitely different. This is something that's changed for me over the years. But when I'm watching a movie that people are supposed to be in high school, and then they have one of the, a sex scene, I'm kind of like, I don't want to see this. I'm older. It's like, it's creepy. So I really appreciated that they, everything, you know, by faces and such that you can, you know, I don't have to see it. So I was able to feel comfortable. And I'm not a prude, okay? I just prefer everyone, but, you know what I'm saying. So this film was going so great watching it that I felt a little disappointed on how rushed the ending of the film felt. The heart of the film was set up to be the newspaper staff leaving their legacy in the form of the final edition of the school newspaper. And a decent amount of time was taken up talking about this, and it didn't make sense why that story seemed to get dropped. We thought that that was what the film's about, so I expected that to be the climax of the film, you know, combining with the romance in some way. So I felt like part of the film shouldn't have been there, or they should have developed that aspect of the movie more to give sort of some satisfaction with that plot or subplot, you know. And so then next, I like to name the three best things and the three worst things about the film, just to cut to those, right? For the best things. Number one, Lily Reinhart's acting performance as the leading role, Grace. It is a subtle, multi-layered, complex, and generous performance. Number two, the writing. It's a well-written film. Oh man, and I want to stay up to the last 10 minutes. I really enjoyed the writing. I enjoyed the dialogue. I enjoyed the arc for mostly of it. And number three, the moments. This film had some wonderful moments between actors that they stay with you a while. I'll tell you, I actually enjoyed the movie a little bit more later. As I kept thinking about it, and as I was writing the review, I was like, God, that was a good moment. And this was a beautiful moment. They're like, wow, that moment was so like, I could feel her pain at that moment. You know, it stayed with you. And one of the reasons I watch films is for these moments, at least dramas and romance. It's these moments between actors that captivates me. I mean, I started from the theater world, so that's partly why. But yeah. Those are my three best things about the film. Now, the three worst. One, I really want to know more about the sister. That still bothers me. She was so, like, she got developed just enough that I wanted to know more about her. And I felt cheated that I didn't get to know more. Number two, the metaphor for the film. I love the metaphor. Okay. I did love it, but it was too obvious and it got revealed too soon. A line of dialogues used to point it out. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. You don't need to even say it. We get it. But they were just revealed. It was too obvious. They could have done it a little subtler way, I feel like. And then three, the ending. Then the ending of the film, I don't know, was the first 15, 10 minutes. It just felt rushed. Like, they moved in time so much quicker and felt montage. Like I felt like this book, it was based on a book. The book was probably, felt like it ended like a book. You know, like books have that last couple chapters that you're like, oh, I'll just kind of wrap up what I told you about. That's what it felt like. Where in a movie, I think you need a more, like the finish needs to be a little smoother, little tighter than a book needs it. That's how it felt to me. I don't think that spoiled it. Anyway, now here's what I call the final word, just my summation of the film and my feelings. A thoroughly well-acted and enjoyable drama about teenage romance. Moments will stick with you long after the film is finished, which is way sooner than you want it to be. So my rating for this film, I've mentioned this in another episode, but if you're just listening to my review system, you have three choices in my review system, just three. You either loved it, you liked it, or lose it. Loved it, it's that film that you want the moment you come out of the theater, you want to call somebody and tell them they need to go see it. Go see it in the theater. This is wonderful. You rave about this film. You want to own it. It's that kind of film. Liked it's a big swap. And I'll be honest, I like a good deal of films. There's things that you can like about bad films, even, right? Even it's a bad movie. But no, I like it. I have some, you know, those horrible guilty pleasure movies. You can like that. And you can like something so much that you almost love it, right? But you don't quite. Just need a little bit more. It wasn't perfect. There's a big flaw or something. So it's a big swath of films of stuff that you like it in some way and you would probably watch it. It's on TV. I'll watch this. Lose it. That's no. Don't waste your time. Someone like me watched this for you, and that was punishment enough. You do not have to put yourself through it. Someone gives you this as a gift. As soon as they leave the house, because you don't want to be rude, toss it in the garbage. You lose that film, okay? That's my rating system. Three things. Love it, like it, or lose it. For Chemical Romance, I'm giving it a strong like it. It was so close to love it, but I almost say like plus, right? But that doesn't exist. But it's a like it. It is a good film. I really did enjoy it. And if it wasn't for the rushed ending and the you know, it might have got to a little bit. Might have. Not guaranteed. Next up, One Bedroom. Or as it's titled, 1BR. But we know what that means, right? So this is a new film. It just went to wide release on Netflix this weekend. It's a Netflix, I guess, original release. It is listed as a 2019 film. So if you're looking it up, that's why. It premiered, it looks like, in a festival in Japan. And that's why it's a 2019 release. It went out once a little and then sat around. And who knows? It probably would have gone out had the world not gone bonkers. It would have probably gone into the theater in 2020 anyway. Let's see. It was written and directed by David Marmor. I'll learn to pronounce these as I go along. It is rated R. It is a drama horror thriller. I would say horror. It's not gory, but it's definitely thriller. 1 hour and 30 minutes. The cast, it stars Nicole Bryden Bloom, Giles Matthey, and Taylor Nichols. The story, in their own words, Sarah tries to start anew in L.A., but her neighbors are not what they seem. Ooh, it's intriguing. Now, of course, you know this is a horror, right? So right away, you have some things in your head just from the log line, right? Oh, the neighbors are not what they seem. What are they? Are they aliens? Are they possessed? Are they, what's going on? Like, we know something's gotta be wrong, right? New person comes to LA and neighbors are not what they seem. So right away, when it's a horror, you're like, your brain starts working. Okay. So, the review. To be honest, when One Bedroom started, it felt really slow. I thought the lead actor was a weak choice, and I thought it looked really low budget and wasn't going to be a good film. That impression was really, really wrong. this film really sucked me in as time went on. And I think a big part of that is Nicole Bryson Bloom's transformational performance over the course of the film. Bloom plays Sarah, a recent arrival to LA trying to start a new life. She has no close friends. She's in a distant, strained relationship with her father. Something happened between them. And she's angry at her dad. And she's doing a temp job in LA until she can find the job of her dreams, which is in the costuming area, it sounds like. She finds one break in life when she gets an apartment in a tight community-focused building, which come with amenities that are more than she bargained for and may cost her her life. Bum, bum, bum. What follows is Sarah's fight for survival and a discovering of an inner strength. I really love Bloom's performance in the beginning. That the beginning of the film tricked me. Like, it was so good, I thought it was her. Like, she wasn't acting, right? I fell for her portrayal of this weak character who's looking to find inner strength to stand up to her boss at work. Over the course of the film, we see her grow more confident and secure as she deals with the bizarre situation she finds herself in. And I love getting tricked, honestly, as a director, as a film goer, that I thought I made a judgment on this actor that I thought it was more just the actor not being good. But she just pulled it off so well. So hats off to you, Nicole, if you're listening. The film's director and writer, David Mamor, crafts an engaging story that unfolds to the viewer as it does to Sarah, allowing us to feel and understand her feelings of isolation with every camera shot choice. It gives us hope for when she meets the new neighbor and possible love interest, Bobby, played with sophistication by Giles Matthey. This guy nailed the role. He did a great job with what he has to do in it, the switches that he has to make. Well done, Giles, if he's listening. The film does have some very predictable elements, mostly in the characters. I have no doubt early on which role each character is going to play as I went into the film, knowing it's a horror film. There aren't too many unexpected turns in the story, but despite that, I find myself captivated by the film after the first 15 minutes. There is an element to the film's story that is really unique, or at least one that I've not seen before. The unique storyline is the thing that draws me into the horror genre in general. What is that unique storyline for this? Because the horrors do something they should. The ones that draw me in have this unique take. So that's what I like about it. A lot of creativity people have. I don't know why. Maybe they feel like they can take more risks than other films. Anyway, I'm not a big fan of gore. There was some in this, but the gore did help drive the story forward. So I at least appreciated that. I did have to squint a few times, close my eyes. Okay, now, the three best things, the three worst things. Under best, one, Sarah's transformation. Number two, original idea. Number three, the film pulls you in. And isn't that what you want every film to do? Just pull you in deeper and deeper. And so, you know, yeah, it started off far away for me for this, but it did pull me in. The final word on the film. This film, full of predictable characters and behaviors, doesn't stop it from being an enjoyable, scary film. Yeah, that's it. This is a film full of predictable characters and behaviors, but that doesn't stop it from being an enjoyable, scary film. That was better said. I like that way. So the rating, my 3L system, love it, like it, or lose it. I'm giving this a like it. I enjoyed it in the end. Now, my last review. Done with the movies. This is the pilot episode of Lovecraft Country. It is a series on HBO. It's a new horror drama, rated M. It's got some... Now, let me just read the story. I can't... This is a hard one to review, too, by the way, because it is a horror, but it's also a sort of a mystery. So I can't reveal too much. Okay. So the story, it's about, sorry, if you hear a little kid, that's my kid. I'm reviewing this during I'm trying to do this while Stell at home in COVID. Okay. They were up and I got to get the review out. The story is about a young black man who travels across the segregated 1950s United States in search for his missing father, learning of dark secrets plaguing a town on which famous horror writer H.P. Lovecraft supposedly based the location of many of his fictional tales. Now, this story, okay, so it's fast. So this young black man, he returns. He had fought in World War II. And he's back and he's trying to leave Jim Crow country to get to his father. We know he's heading somewhere. What I'll tell you is, so he gets hooked up with his uncle, who they find out that his dad's been missing. So he gets with his uncle, who his uncle writes books, travel guides for black people. Because at the time, you needed to know, there were authors that would write books to let you know where it was safe for black people to eat at, shop at, everything, especially when traveling, places that were black friendly. And so that's his job. So they are heading into there is a clue as to where the young black man's father is. And So him and his uncle head out there because the uncle needs to do like another trip anyway to do another story. And they bring along with them Letty. Her name is Letty. she's Journey, played by Journey Smollett. She's back in town, in the town that he was from. She has her own reason to get out of town. She's kind of broke and needs to need to talk to her dad. So they're on that way. So they all go together. And so it's the three of them and they have to deal with some racism. And this is what I love when you put in the metaphor of monsters out there. Kind of something what I loved about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She was always tackling her demons. In some ways, these people are tackling the demons of racism. And yes, right now, with the climate that's going on, is this escapism? Yes. There's a mystery going on. There is somebody that seems to be helping them a little bit to avoid a couple of bad situations. But let me just cover the main character, his name is Atticus. His uncle George and Letty. It's so far it's about them. And this is HBO, right? So the great thing about watching anything on HBO is you don't know when someone's going to die. Anytime, right? Anytime it could happen. So I'm really, you know, I'm invested in it and there's some mystery, there's some monsters, there's monsters that are both monsters and there's some people monsters, you know. It's so far, it is intriguing. It is, it's well acted. It's shot beautifully. So I really, like, I was trying to do up a review like I do for the films on this, and I came up with the best things. I came up with the characters, the mystery, the actors. The worst, I said it was too short because I wanted the first episode to be longer because I wanted to find out more. Like, I don't have anything much negative to say about this. I'm going to have to watch it a couple more times. And I feel like it's going to be a show that I could do that. Now, that's just the pilot. I haven't got to the second episode yet. Going to be watching that this weekend along with the episode number 3. But so far, this is rated. It's starting off with a love it. Okay? Love it. And we will see as time goes on. We'll see how much I like it. All right. As time goes on, we'll come back to this. Maybe at the end of the series, this might be one of those that we do a full episode just to talk about Lovecraft Country. right now. Check it out. It's on HBO. And, you know, and it's more, you know, like, here's the thing. If you're okay with horror, if you're okay with a little gruesome, I will put that caveat in here. We keep talking about supporting Black films, Black series, right? Black artists. If you really want to support people, go see their work. You gotta. They're gonna make more films and shows with Black people if you see the work and consume it. Then they go, oh, there's something there. I need to see it. So that's another reason to go see it and not wait for it to end up on streaming somewhere else or until you can hack in or something. Go watch it now. We got to put our money where our mouth is if that's what you want. So there we go. So that's it. That's it for today. That's the program. Just to sum up, for today, we talked about Chemical Hearts on Amazon. Gave that a like it plus. We did One Bedroom that's on Netflix. That is a like it. And Lovecraft Country, which I'm giving a love it. So I think three winners this week. So hopefully you can go forth and fill your eyeballs and your eye brain, fill it with beautiful movies and content because of this podcast. So thank you so much for tuning in. Always appreciate it. And we will we'll see you next time. Black and a Half.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by.
Live long and prosper.